Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Good Saturday morning. I'm here with my colleague, Mike Carter, and we have just returned from the Liberty University National Association of Christian Lawmakers meeting. Mike, good to have you here.
Great to be here. It was a great event this last week.
Oh, absolutely. We met some amazing thought leaders. What we're talking about are state legislators who are the lawmakers. They're public servants. They know they're public servants. They don't think there are bosses or controlling us, and they're looking out for believers. And we had some incredible interviews. I want to roll some of those interview clips that we had. The first one being Matt Krause, former lawmaker from Texas, thought leader. Some say he might be the governor of Texas someday. Wonderful friend, wonderful Christian man. You know,
and,
Mike.
And he's been one that's been involved with us from very early on. I mean, when you were first writing the book Game Plan and suggesting the bullion depository. So it's kind of fun to get that historical perspective in.
Yeah. So let's roll that clip with Matt Krause and hear that interview. Amazing American.
All right. We're here at the Liberty University at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And one of my favorite lawmakers, one I supported when he first ran for the Texas legislature, dear friend Matt Krause, works for First Liberty Institute. It's a huge blessing to know a great friend. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you. It's always good to be with you.
You've been with us from the very beginning where we talked about Texas needing to be fiscally responsible.
That's right.
And you've heard about this crazy idea of making Texas having its own currency, you know, almost from day one.
That's right. It started off with the gold depository, really, when we worked on that when I first got into the legislature. We even worked on the Fiscal Risk Management Commission that we tried to put in Texas, which would have been very helpful right about now. We could have used that. And so when you brought this new transactional currency to light, I thought this is absolutely the thing Texas needs to do.
It's a hand in glove to the depository because you and Gio, who is my state rep, and you helped get that passed, finally signed into law, and built.
That's right.
Which we have it. But now we've got a beautiful depository, but we don't have any real easy way to use it. I mean, it's kind of, I'll send them my gold coins and they'll take care of them for me. But what we're talking about here is much more transactional, the ability to make Texas have its own currency. Now, you're an attorney. You've been in the legislature. Do you think it's viable?
Absolutely. I mean, look at what you've already done in a short amount of time. Usually when a new idea pops up, it takes years to kind of germinate and people to get it. Y'all worked in the legislature in a couple of months and got it almost to the finish line the first time around, which is unheard of.
You gave us some good advice and good guidance and good connections and good friendships. Yeah. So that was a
big help. That's how much I believe in it. I feel like I've heard you say it over and over again. This is kind of like our only option to fight back some of the bigger forces that are at play, whether it's in our country or internationally. So if Texas does not do this and other states do not look at doing something like this, we're going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, we've got the national debt. That's one threat. We've got inflation. That's the second threat. We've got foreign nations wanting to target our currency and then central bank digital currency, which really scares me because I think constitutionally, and you've studied the Constitution, I think the federal government has the authority to do it. The question is, will we stand up?
That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what I love about your approach. A lot of people have these fanciful ideas that sound good in theory, but may not be good in application or constitutional. Yours actually is a dead set constitutional approach to ensure that we keep some of the currency in our power and in our hands and can do what we want to with it. That's why I think it's a game changer.
I think the founders actually put this in for that purpose. I've talked to David and Tim Barton about it and Bill Federer, and they're like, no, this is actually the reason they left that in there, because they were afraid the federal government would go off the rails.
That's right. You look at all the anti-federalist debates and all their fears. This was one of their biggest fears. And I give you a lot of credit because a lot of people are waking up to the recession or the inflation or the digital currency. You've been talking about this for years, just saying it's good, smart, fiscal sound policy. We should be doing it. But now that there's an emergency, it makes it even more important that we get something like this done.
Well, it kind of emanates from the work I did with the Defense Department. This is the natural next step in economic warfare, is destroy a currency. Great civilizations that die, for example, the Roman Empire, they die from failed currency. The denarius was 95% silver in 68 AD, and by 268 AD, it was 5% silver, and that was a death knell for that society.
That's right, and a lot of people have not thought about economic warfare like you have, but this isn't anything new for you. This has been decades of research, and so that's one thing I appreciate about you, and one of the reasons I think it was so well received at the legislature. This is a very well thought out plan. This isn't some lark. This isn't something that's just kind of a fly by night. Why don't we take a chance on this? This is a very sound approach to ensuring that we have some kind of currency that we can hold, we can own, and keep sufficient in the days to come.
Well, thanks to you and a lot of the friends that you introduced us to, we made the top 15 legislative priorities. We're two places in the Republican platform. So I think they're going to take us seriously this time.
Absolutely.
And if we get it entered on the first day, and Senator Hughes, who entered it on the last day in the last session, said, no, we're doing it much earlier. I'll try and get it to my committee, and we won't have a freshman in the House. You were a freshman. It's hard to introduce legislation as a freshman.
But I think that shows the viability and the genius of the plan. Representative DeRozio, great member, did a great job, but it was a late bill by a freshman, and he still almost got it through the process. And so that shows that and this is something that's bipartisan too. I mean, you think about it, this is not a Republican or a Democrat issue. This is a Texan issue that'll be to the benefit of all Texans from all walks of life. I think that's why it resounds so well, and I think that's why you're going to get across the finish line.
Did you work with Representative Raymond?
Yes.
He's a guy, when we met with him, he said, look, I care about people.
Yeah.
And I care that the average working person can't go out and buy gold. They don't know how to buy it, where to buy it. They don't know how to spend it, don't know what to do anything. But he said, put all the other stuff aside. If you care about people, you should do this. And so he took what I thought was a very honorable Democrat position.
Absolutely.
And said, I care about my constituents and this will benefit them.
That's right. And we're starting to see people be penalized for using cash in transactions. They're leading you towards the credit cards that already have trillion-dollar deficits. This is one of those ways for whoever you are in any walk of life, you can use something that you have security in when you're paying for things, not be penalized, and know that your money is being stored in a safe and secure way.
And it's very efficient. We're all used to it. It's electronic. So anyway,
thank you
for your help.
Thank you for all
your
help
in the next session.
I look forward to being at the governor's signing session with you next session on this bill.
Sounds
It'll be awesome.
Great. Thanks, Matt.
You know what we were doing? We were talking with Matt about the transactional gold and silver plan, Mike, that you've been helping us promote in 20 plus states across the nation. It started in Texas. Matt was one of the original thought leaders in the Texas legislature. But if people want to understand what that plan is, they can get more information by visiting piratemoneybook.com, where it kind of lays it out, or transactionalgold.com. But Mike, were you encouraged?
Oh, absolutely. A couple things stood out there. When he asked, is this viable? It was absolutely. And that was a theme we heard throughout the event at the conference we were just at. You know, we started, as he stated, 2 months and almost got it to the finish line in the last session out there. But I think what's really encouraging was the recognition that this wasn't just an idea of the month. This is something that really has built upon your expertise in economic warfare, the thought that's been put into this, and we're seeing that now in the momentum that we heard, not just from Matt, not just from the other three or four people we're going to have here today, but through multiple legislators across the country.
Yeah, they had 28 states, I think, represented at the NACL, National Association of Christian Lawmakers, and they see this as a financial arc, a way for believers to protect their money by putting it in something state-based that allows them to transact, and it's held in the form of gold and silver. This is Pirate Money Radio. That's why we call it Pirate Money, because it's about silver pieces of eight and gold doubloons, which is what our founders thought was real money, just made modern with a debit card where you can spend it at the grocery store, you can buy a movie ticket, you can pay your employees with it. All we need is some legislation, and we have some Christian lawmakers who want to make that legislation a reality.
Absolutely, and this was just 28 of them. There's more than that that we're talking to right now that aren't even part of this group and this organization. So again, the fact that this has gone from an idea to a movement is really encouraging. And we hear the enthusiasm across the board from multiple legislators. It's exciting. I believe it's happening. And thank you to the audience members that are reaching out to their legislators and saying, hey, we want this done in our state.
Right. You can get more information at transactionalgold.com. Hey, we've got three exciting interviews coming up. One of them with a representative from Florida, Doug Bankson. Another from a representative from Alaska, Sarah Vance. And the third one is representative representative from Texas, Mark DeRazio, the guy that first entered the legislation for transactional gold and silver here in the great state of Texas. So join us right after the break, and we'll dive into the next interview and see where we're going to win in Florida.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, and I'm here with Mike Carter, who's been leading the initiative for pirate money legislation across the states. I remember I was at Liberty University earlier in the year, and I met with Governor Ron DeSantis. He was speaking at the convocation. I was speaking at the School of Government, and I told him our idea for transactional gold and silver at the state level, and he looked at me and he said, is Texas going to do it? And I said, I think so. And he says, if Texas and Florida did this together, no one could stop us.
Yeah, yeah. I know, and you know what I appreciate about Representative Banks, and he comes from a pastor perspective who cares about legislation and making sure that our voices are heard out there. And somebody who has an optimism that says, hey, even though I'm a freshman, I'm putting this thing forward. But what we saw happen throughout that legislative process is it's not just freshmen, but senior leaders saying, this is a big idea. We need to make this happen. So I'm very encouraged about what's happening across the country.
So Representative Doug Bankson from Florida, we met with him at the NACL, and we reflected on what I had shared with Governor Ron DeSantis. And Governor DeSantis and Representative Bankson both seem to agree. Plus, we've gotten support in the House, the Senate. Florida looks like a very promising state. So let's listen to what Representative Doug Bankson from Florida says about transactional gold and silver at the state level, pirate money.
Representative Bankson, so good to see you here at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. Now, you've been attending this for a while.
Actually, no. This is my first time. Meeting. I feel like I found my family.
Oh, it's
been
fantastic.
Wonderful meetings.
Now, we met when Art Alley hosted a dinner in Tallahassee that we attended, and you, as a freshman, you've got a background. Your background is church, right?
It is. I'm a pastor. 28 years we founded a church ourselves, but we've been very involved just from the local level on up. I've known all my life to be involved in the process of going up. This affects people's lives, and God is not compartmentalized. Yeah. He's Lord over all. And so
you're a Liberty pastor too, right? You have attended the Liberty pastors at all or not?
I have. I was able to go there with Paul. What a wonderful leadership.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. And Art has been helping Liberty pastors. And what would you say to somebody who's another pastor who says, I don't want to get involved in politics? How would you answer that?
Well, you know, I think that's something that began in the 1500s, the Pietism movement, which was started, and they were cast out of the church as heretics back at the time. But it began to get into the public thinking that that should be something very private. Piety is a wonderful thing, but Pietism, isn't that interesting? Because we see so much wordsmithing going on in politics now. And that's where that thought process began to get in. And so I think it's an enlightening people are beginning to realize that, I mean, you have the Moses, the prophet lawgiver, Daniel, the prophet statesman, and all of this involvement all along, God is the lawgiver. And so realizing Jesus confronting the Pharisees, they were the lawmakers of their day.
Right.
To begin to give that dynamic that we are supposed to be involved, salt and light includes the political arena.
Well, if we back away from politics, that just leaves it to the non-pious, I guess. It leaves it to the purely secular, which little wonder if we back away that things that go contrary to our Christian values are mm-hmm. heavily promoted in law. And then it's almost becomes illegal to be a Christian.
Oh, yeah. And of course, that I believe is by design from the opposing team there. You know, Satan, he's dumb, but he's not stupid, I will say. Yeah. And so to get that godly influence out of the way, it does lead to secularism, which is man becoming his own God. The root of that is humanism, and it never works.
Yeah, Bill Federer, we just had on the Economic War Room show, and he says the number one most important thing you can do is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the number two most important thing you can do is protect the opportunity to do the number one most important thing to do. And so I appreciate you doing that. Now, how would you, as a freshman then, and a preacher coming in, pastor, say, I want to change the monetary system of Florida? What got you into that?
Well, it's interesting. It is one of the prevalent issues in Scripture, literally, because There's a scripture that says money answers all things. And so understanding the power of it, of course, Satan would go after the power structure. And understanding that our money, our foundational system, you know, your book is just revelation. If people haven't read it, they need to read this book to understand how did we get here? Because paper is not real money. And, you know, our dollars were a representation of real money, which is the gold and silver. And that, of course, goes back to God's foundation, literally. And so when we see the what's happening right now to control a people, if you can control the economic process, then you can control the people. And so to take control of the money system literally is that pathway that begins to take back the control. And so to go back and reestablish what real money is and put that back in the hands of the people, reestablishing, even if it's not done from the federal level, this allows us to literally give people back their gold standard. And, you know, I like to say that our dollars, it's literally become Dumbo's magic feather.
Oh, wow.
Because it only has a perceived value, and yet we know since 71 it's lost like 90% of its buying power, where gold has been stable.
Pretty good Florida Disney type reference to get dumped back when Disney was decent.
Yes.
But you're so right. The Bible, Genesis to Revelation, it talks about gold and silver, gold and silver, gold and silver. Gold and silver will not provide salvation.
Nope.
It cannot heal you. It can buy medical care, but it can't heal you. It can't buy you relationships, and you can't take it with you. But it does a lot of good stuff.
It does.
And dishonest weights and measures, what does the Bible say about those?
Oh, God hates that because He cares about the minority group. You know, we hear so much of that used politically and literally used to produce a political agenda, but God cares about the poor. That's what I love about this. It's the true equalizer. It allows everyone to be able to own gold and silver and utilize it and not
spend
be taxed.
It. Yeah. No, and a dishonest weight and measure, few people realize that was absolutely straight on money.
Oh, yeah.
A dishonest weight or measure was because a coin is a unit of measure and it's a weight of metal.
Yes.
At least it was in Bible days.
Mm-hmm.
And when they removed that, so and that's what happened in Rome when they removed it, the denarius in 68 AD to 268 AD went from 95% silver to 5% silver.
Mm-hmm.
Soldiers would drop the coins to hear what it sounded like and the sound of money. They knew what real money was like. I mean, we've got chocolate coins. You drop them, they sound like chocolate thud. But if you drop a real silver coin, it sounds different.
Yeah.
God hates dishonesty.
Yes.
And this is our federal government acting dishonestly.
Mm.
Yeah, I play a clip, people have seen it, where it's Jared Bernstein, who's the chief economic advisor to President Biden, 3.5 years as president, 8 years as vice president, and they're trying to explain this and see if you can explain it. We print money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then why do we borrow money?
Yeah.
We print money?
Exactly.
Hey, Jared couldn't explain it.
Yeah.
The reason is there's this Federal Reserve that sits in between the printing of money and the borrowing and lending to the government. So we're in debt even though we're the ones who print the money.
Mm-hmm.
There's something not right about
something
that.
Something fishy there, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the control, controlling a population. And we need to be about liberty. This is bringing back fiscal foundational liberty to people.
So how do you see this working? Explain it how one of your constituents in Florida says, all right, I want gold and silver, but where do I store it? How do I buy it? What do I do with it? Do I have to pawn it when I need money out of it? How does it work?
Well, again, you're the master, so you're teeing this up for me, but you can correct me if I miss anything. Bottom line is, of course, gold and silver, as it's declared, legal tender. That's what's printed on our bills. This bill is legal tender, so the
right.
Government is recognizing that to have the function of cash. So it brings back that function back to gold and silver. It removes it from being simply a commodity, which then you have to transfer to dollars to actually have it functional,
right.
And then you're taxed again on that. It's just another way to get the pound of flesh. So creating gold and silver as a legal tender now creates it with the ability as cash. Again, then that second element, having the depository. And what we had looked at in the state of Florida, you know, I'm a low tax guy, and you know, rather than us having to rebuild that, we know that Texas has a great depository. There's others, whether it's Brinks, different ones.
You could outsource that.
We can outsource
having to build
that.
It.
Exactly.
Right.
And so it's not reinventing the wheel. It's really working together. And you know, it again, then brings the tax burden down on people
right.
in another way.
The state could make a little money off this.
And it can with every transaction, of course, when you use a credit card now, there's a transaction. So literally we can split those fees. So instead of it costing, it actually gains resources for the state. But then that third functional element, utilizing a debit card as we do with our dollars that are losing value while they're in the bank, where gold and silver will maintain and have increased their buying power because of the falling dollar. Again, the fact that the dollar is under attack worldwide, we need to shore this up, we need to strengthen this, and one of the biggest things to me is pushing back on this central bank digital currency, literally taking all the control. Government should not be in control and in charge of what we buy and sell.
Now, you passed a law in the legislature and the governor signed it that says we do not recognize central bank digital currencies. That happened. The
yes.
problem I have with that, and I think it's the right thing to do, and congratulate you for doing it. Problem I have with that is the Constitution allows the Congress to coin money. It's very easy for a court to say, well, that's essentially coining money and it's allowed and Florida can't say no.
Right.
But Florida has that opt-out.
Right.
That option where you can make it where people can hold gold or silver in a depository and spend it. A lot of people say, well, I want to hold my gold in my own hand. If you don't hold it in your own hand, you don't own it. And I said, well, I've got a lot of dollars that I keep in a bank in Texas. I don't hold them in my own hand, but I can spend them. I can write checks. I can spend them electronically and so forth. So I think you've got a good plan. I think Florida, you think you got a chance this?
Oh, we're going to get it across that line.
I love that.
Again, this first year was really more educational for elected officials. It's not a new concept, but it is new to people who aren't familiar with that. It was new to me when I heard that. But thankfully, our forefathers, just with that wisdom and foresight, placed that in there. So it really, again, is something that as we went through the first session, we were able to help develop that, people understanding how this all works, and everyone that did across the aisle as well. This is bipartisan because this is a people issue. This just meets people where they live. And it also, in the state of Florida, it would remove that taxation on buying less than $500.
That's immoral that you're taxing poor people buying gold and rich people don't have to pay tax on it. That's kind of crazy.
It really is.
Well, I congratulate you for advancing the legislation, for popularizing it. You've shown people, you've used it on the commercial basis and shown people it's how easy it works.
Yes.
Thank you for all that you're doing, Representative Bankson.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be a part of this groundswell, this movement across America.
All right. Well, blessings to you.
All right.
Great opportunity to talk with Representative Doug Bankson in Florida. They say they're going to get it across the finish line. He's referring to a plan that we hatched. And if you want more information, you can get at piratemoneybook.com the plan, the book he read, and so forth. But did you notice he really is concerned about central bank digital currencies, Mike?
Yeah. He said if you can control the economic process, you can control the people.
You know, we're going to cover that next week here on Pirate Money Radio, go into great detail explaining what central bank digital currencies. But after this break, we'll come back with an Alaska State Representative, Sarah Vance, who thinks she'll get this across the finish line in Alaska.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
You know, we've been playing some interviews. We played former Representative Matt Krause, who works with First Liberty Institute, and then he's from Texas, and then we played an interview with Doug Bankson, representative and a pastor out of Florida. Great, great guys. Mike, you know, I was encouraged. Were you encouraged with the enthusiasm for this transactional gold and silver plan?
Absolutely. The enthusiasm is there. The reach is there. I mean, we're talking from Florida all the way to Alaska now, and all these states where people understand the concept. They see that this is something that's real. That's legislation that can be done, and just catching that enthusiasm, not from just one, but all these different legislators out there is very encouraging.
You know, this isn't the first time we met with the NACL. My wife, Marnie, and I went there more than a year ago at Liberty University, but you were at the Museum of the Bible.
Yes.
And you introduced model legislation there. What was the response?
Model legislation that Jason Rapert, who formed the NACL, said this has never happened before. You don't realize what just took place here. He goes, any other time we've had legislation, there's always been debate. There's always been a delay. We have to work through it. When they saw the transactional gold and silver legislation, it was the first time it was unanimously approved, and people said, we got to move forward with this. And we're seeing that momentum carry on, 6 months later from that last meeting, but the enthusiasm level is off the charts to say, we're going to get this done.
You know, it was fun because you, while you were there at the Museum of the Bible, you handed a book to my friend Janet Folger, and she has her own radio program, and you know, brilliant lady. She ran up to me and she said, "Look, I didn't read your book. I admit, I took it home to my husband, and he read it and handed it back to me just before I came here. He read it cover to cover and said, this is the solution to all of the money problems that we're facing in America."
And the fact that his enthusiasm was so high and her enthusiasm was so high is, again, just an example of how this is becoming a movement and that momentum is happening out there.
Well, you know, if we let money go out of our control, we won't be able to do the good things with it. Jesus said, if you don't get the money part right, Luke 16:11, you will not be trusted with true riches. And, you know, there are really only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, you can spend it, you can invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions that support all three areas in a way that supports liberty, security, and values. Patriot Mobile, a mobile phone company that supports the Pirate Money Radio program, uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile, and operates on both Apple and Android phones. More information about the Economic War Room, is the sponsor of this show, and Patriot Mobile is available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. So we're talking money. We're here with Mike Carter. We've been doing interviews. We've played an interview with Matt Krause from Texas and Representative Doug Bankson from Florida. And now we've got a representative from Alaska, Sarah Vance. And she's been a part of the National Association of Christian Lawmakers from the very beginning. And she represents the great, amazing state of Alaska.
Well, she does. And she comes at this from a mom's perspective and from a economic justice perspective, if I'm allowed to say that.
Oh, yeah. No, we believe the Bible talks about economic justice. He talks about justice for the poor and rich alike. So let's play the clip we've got from Representative Sarah Vance in Alaska.
Representative Vance, I love your state. Alaska is phenomenal. It's so wonderful meeting you. And you entered legislation for transactional gold and silver. So I'm just thrilled to be able to see you here at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers.
This is where we met.
And this is like you've been here from the very beginning.
Yes, I am a charter member.
Which is phenomenal. So what are you finding here at the conference? What Christian issues are advancing? What are you learning? What are you sharing?
Oh, there's always so much from life to marriage to finances. Everything is based on a biblical value and just really people who have been leaders on these issues, sharing the information, the model legislation, and the connections to help us win in our states.
That's great. Well, what's advancing in Alaska? What's important to Alaskans?
Well, financial issues are important, and we're seeing a lot of changes, and that's why this bill is so important. I was pleased that we did pass in the House. It was moving in the Senate, but I think we ran out of time in you know, we're trying to kind of get that across the finish line, but part of it is just building awareness on the need to be able to have the transactional gold.
So are people scared about central bank digital currencies in Alaska? Have they heard about that? Is that foreign to them? Because I'm not sure people realize the federal overreach when you live in that beautiful world area and you've got so much space, you don't really think about the federal government as much.
Oh, we think about the federal government a lot in Alaska because there's incredible federal overreach from our land to our waterways and also with our finances. And so having the gold as transactional gives us more options and provides more security. I think having transactional gold is an ultimate sign of sovereignty, and that is something that Alaskans greatly value.
Well, you know, you look at the history like the Maccabees in the intertestamental Old Testament, New Testament period. The Maccabees threw off their oppressors. The first thing they did was produce their own currency. Here in the Revolutionary War, after we got rid of the British, we did not adopt the British pound as our currency, because you can't have the oppression be the source of your sole financing. So I applaud Alaska for doing it. I mean, you've got a great gold and silver history in Alaska.
We do. We are known for our gold rush. We are an incredibly resource-rich state. And if we can take that and be able to use that for transactions and really give something tangible for people that they feel has a direct value that can be retained, then that provides that financial security that people are really seeking right now.
Yeah, there's this Alaskan independent spirit. Now, I come from Texas, and we boast that we're a pretty big state. You're more than twice as big, I think, as Texas geographically.
Alaska thinks Texans are pretty cute.
Yeah, cute little things with your tiny little state there by comparison. But no, I love Alaska. I love the independent spirit. I love the how does your legislature operate, though? Do you meet every year?
We do meet every year, and we are unfortunately go for long sessions, but we are a state that right now is relying on our Alaska Permanent Fund earnings to fund the majority of our government services. So we are getting a front row seat to what the financial structure, how important that is. And without a stability and something that can be relied on, it really makes people vulnerable and really just puts our economy out of balance when we're looking to government to solve our problems. And by having things like the transactional gold, it's where people can rely on something that is stable.
Yeah, have you felt the inflation impact during the Biden years? Is it in Alaska is as bad as it is everywhere else?
Oh, absolutely. And on the Kenai Peninsula where I live, pre-COVID, we had a 24% higher cost of living than the national rate. So since COVID and the Biden administration, we've seen that increase that much more. In rural Alaska that's not connected to the road system, they're seeing $17 price of gas for a gallon of gas.
$17.
And that's not including, you know, the price of their food and goods, because everything has to be shipped in. So the inflation is having a detrimental impact on our rural communities.
And yet you're an oil-rich state. Right? So the oil, it's not refined, though, in Alaska, I'm assuming.
We do have a refinery. It's at stake right now. We are having an energy crisis where the Cook Inlet is not producing enough natural gas for our energy because monetarily, the regulations and the royalty rates. So there's just a lot of uncertainty in the state right now. And that is why this bill was brought forward, is so that people could feel that they are in control of their money and something that is reliable, like gold.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think it's perfect for Alaska, but it's perfect for every state, actually. We were working in Kansas and Iowa and Alaska and Tennessee and Oklahoma and Georgia, you know, so many, 20 or 25 states. But they tend to be freedom-loving states and not dependence-loving states. So I don't think we're anywhere in Massachusetts, although we'd like to be. It seems like it tends to be more the freedom-loving states.
Well, this legislation is for anyone who wants to have control over their own wealth.
Wow.
And what you've done in Texas is incredible. It's a great model, and I'm hoping that we can advance that next session.
Well, Representative, you have been a great advocate. You're a great spokesperson. You explain it extraordinarily well. I hope that your fellow Alaska legislators will adopt it. You got it through the House. I mean, you did your job. And hopefully we can convince the Senate. If I can help in any way, or Mike Carter can help in any way, we're there for you.
That's wonderful. You're welcome back to Alaska anytime.
Thank you so much. Blessings to you.
Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to going back to Alaska as quickly as possible. Mike, have you been to Alaska?
I've not, but that $17 gas kind of scares me.
It does, but you know, we're going to take them transactional gold and silver. We're going to help their economy. What I love about Representative Vance is, you mentioned it before the interview, she is a mom. She decided that things are going the wrong direction. So as a mom, she ran for office, won, and is super popular, a real leader there, taking transactional gold and silver. She got legislation passed through the House. We've got a good friend in the Senate there, too, Kevin.
Yes, Kevin McCabe.
Kevin McCabe. And I talked to the governor, Dunleavy, at an event with Dr. Ben Carson, and he said, look, this is seems right for Alaska. So we expect to get this passed in Alaska as well. But what an amazing lady.
Yeah. And she shared what, you know, she's authentic. She's real. She cares about the people. And I talked about economic justice a little bit earlier because she was talking about times when things were tough for her. And it's like, you know what, we're eating peanut butter and bread to feed the kids. And she understands the hardship that many Alaskans go through. These are hardworking folks. And to see their money being taken away from them and to see the regulations and policies in effect that are affecting those that don't have roadways, having to pay $17 a gallon for gas, all those things impact hardworking Americans.
They do. And hardworking Americans should be listening to Pirate Money Radio every week. If you can't catch it live, you can listen to the podcast at afr.net or piratemoneyradio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking about transactional gold and silver. That's what pirate money is. It's gold and silver, gold doubloons and silver pieces of eight. We're talking about a state taking gold and silver and making it their own state currency and the economic liberty and freedom that it will get. And we've been at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers meeting where we've gotten an incredible response. 28 states were represented there. This is model legislation. Mike Carter, my colleague, took it to when they met at the Museum of the Bible, took it in, and they loved it. We're going to have another break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Representative Mark DeRazio from Texas. Texas is the natural leader in gold and silver. We look forward to implementing this soon in Texas after the break.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And also Mike, the great Mike Carter, who's been leading the Pirate Money Initiative into more than two dozen states. And we're making progress with this. And if you want to understand it more, you can learn and get more information at piratemoneybook.com, which is the book that explains the basis, or transactionalgold.com. Or if you have questions, you can send them to us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. Mike, how'd you feel about that conference?
Again, great conference, super enthusiasm, and just fun. You know, we're wearing our Pirate Money shirts today, and the enthusiasm as we were traveling wearing these, and people said, what is Pirate Money? How do I find out more about that? This is a movement, and it's exciting to see where it's going. We're going to get this across the finish line.
Well, finish line in Texas is going to require Representative Mark DeRazio. We had a chance to interview him. Let's play that interview.
So, Representative DeRazio, it's so good to see you. We were together at the Texas State Convention, and here we are at the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And you're a hero. You're a hero to me, but you're a hero here. You stood up for transactional gold and silver.
Well, you know, Kevin, I appreciate that, and I appreciate everything you're doing. And what has made this thing so successful is the people that came behind us and the research that was done for this. And I've always had a love for gold and silver ever since I was a newspaper boy in Pennsylvania. It was, every time I get a silver quarter, I'd always keep it.
Oh, yeah.
Or a silver certificate, I'd always keep it. And you know, that's where I learned to go door to door. And you know, with what we had experienced at the convention, and I know those people, and those people know us all over the state, and they were excited to see what we were doing, and we gave them hope. And it was what you had done and documented it in the Pirate Money book that made it so fun for everybody. And whenever I was on the House floor, I used your examples in this book of The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, yeah.
And whenever we were on the floor, I was asked a few questions about leprechauns, and it was done by a Democrat, and I needed to get this one bill passed. And he said, can I ask you a few questions about leprechauns? And I said, I don't know much about leprechauns. I used to have one working for me, and we called so we called him the leprechaun. And then so one day, the story that we related to him, one day the leprechaun was very aggravated at the city, and so he was going to sue the city for making the sidewalks too high, because every time he would carry his pot of gold, his butt would drag on the sidewalk, and he felt that they made him too high. And so with that story, everybody started laughing.
Yeah.
So where's DeRazio going with this? And by the time we were done, the whole house was just enthralled with our interchange about leprechauns. I had no signatures whatsoever on that bill. No co-authors, no joint authors. And there was not even a sheet filled up, and everybody was just enthralled. So I ran into the back. I got the Ledge Council to make me a couple of sheets, and I went up and down in rows. The most liberal Democrat signed on to this bill. I think I got 40 or 50 signatures on that bill.
That's amazing. You know what we found is that when you talk to the people, they get it, they want it. You go to Chick-fil-A and you talk to the person behind the counter and say, can I pay in gold? And I say, how does that work? And you explain to them, I want that. Can I get paid in gold? When you talk to Uber driver, when you talk to somebody delivering the mail or whatever, they all want it. But when I talk to the sophisticated people, oh, we don't need that. Why? What do we have? And I think that's why it's got this appeal, because the populist movement, both Republican and Democrat, they see something wrong, and they want a solution. And I think that's where your appeal was. I mean, you went further in the Texas House than I think anybody ever expected as a freshman with an unknown complex idea, and you simplified it and brought it home. It's just amazing.
It was, and we had to bring it down home, just like you said, to where people live. What good is gold and silver if you can't spend it? And so this system, this transactional system, it makes it available to the poorest person on the street. And it gives them a hedge against inflation. And when I went to the Democrats and was going up and down the aisle and talking to them about it and about how it would help the constituents, how it would help people actually be able to save an asset to work themselves out of a poverty situation, they got it.
Yeah, well, you've seen it. We've used the commercial application. You can buy a penny's worth of gold. I do it all the time. I'll show up and say, hey, $0 to $10, tell me how much gold to buy. I hear one of your fellow legislators. He says, show me how it works. So I said, give me a number. He said, $9.40. So I bought $9.40, and you know, the fee on it was 4 cents. I said, tell me what person can't afford $9.40 in gold.
And that's what makes it so practical. It makes it practical and the hedge against inflation. And you know, I have a company, and we do paychecks every other week. And I see how hard these guys work. I mean, we're in the ditches. We are laying pipe. We are pouring concrete. And, you know, at the end of the pay period, when I fill out their checks, you know, 1 week gasoline is about $2.98 a gallon. The next week it's $3.15 a gallon. And so after we take all the taxes out, and we see that the inflation has just ebbed away at the fruit of their labor, this protects that. And it's a good, solid system.
Now, I don't know I've won him over, but I'm part of a Utah study group. And they passed a study bill in Utah, met with the treasurer, Marla Oakes, and the sponsor of the bill, Ken Ivory, and I think you know Ken. Mm-hmm. And sitting across the table from me was the vice chairman of the Federal Reserve under President Trump, until fairly recently. So he's vice chairman, right under Jerome Powell. And he had a conversation with the Utah Bankers Association head, and I talked to him afterwards. I said, what do you think? He said, you know, he and I both talked, and he said, the Fed's target of 2% inflation, which everybody thinks, wouldn't that be great if we got inflation down to 2%? He said, we both agreed that that's immoral, that you take 2% of a person's wealth away every single year. So even if we kept inflation at a flat 2%, that's immoral, because over a period of time, you're going to just completely
ruin their wealth, and the average person can't prepare for it. 2% a year is immoral. We've probably got 5 to 10% inflation right now, if you be really honest about it.
Oh, yeah, you're at least. But, you know, they have taken some of the factors out of how they figure inflation. You know, they've taken some food out. They've taken fuel out. I believe it's food and fuel. And so we really have an unrealistic...
Oh, yeah. They calculate it based on a basket of goods, and the consumer price index is built on a basket of goods and services. And if steak gets too expensive, they'll pull it out and put chicken in. If chicken gets too expensive, they'll pull it out and put Spam in. The point being is that it is constantly adjusting to what people are actually buying. Well, that doesn't mean that they can afford beef anymore. I just saw that the herd of cattle in Texas is the lowest it's been since 1961. What do you think that'll do to beef prices?
Oh, it'll do nothing but cause it to escalate through the roof. And it's going to make it tougher for people to purchase that. So they'll have to find some other option.
So when you talk to your constituents, what else do they want to see happening? What kind of liberty measures? Because I know you're a great believer in the Constitution. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What other kind of liberty measures are your constituents in the San Antonio area asking you to represent?
Well, you know, the first one is property taxes. That's another issue. But in some of the more upper middle class neighborhoods, they're seeing their freedoms being pulled away from them. And they're seeing the extension of the state just take it. And they're seeing that. And they're more and more concerned about it. More laws and rules and regulations through the Department of Health and Human Services. They see that, and they see the confiscation of their liberty through the legal system.
So what you've got, those two items, that's why transactional gold makes sense to you, because if you see people worried about taxes, this might be a solution for Texas to reduce taxes if we start making fees off that, or any state can make some fee. And the second thing, the control of property, the confiscation of liberty, this is a way to fight back to where you can have your money in private and not a central bank digital currency.
Absolutely. They can't inflate it. They can't take it from you because it's physical. And anything that's physical and tangible, it's solid. And so we're grateful for that.
Do you think we'll get this passed in the next legislative session in Texas?
I do. As a matter of fact, as I talk to more and more people at the conventions, they're all already talking to their legislators about it. I've had numerous legislators come up and say, this is going to pass the next legislative
session.
Praise
God for that. Well, we've heard the similar thing from Florida. Representative Bankson is here, and he's talking about Florida. He thinks it can pass. I was told personally by Governor Ron DeSantis, here at Liberty University, where we are right now, he was speaking at convocation. I was speaking at the School of Government. We had a lunch together afterwards. He said, if Texas and Florida do anything together, no one can stop us.
Absolutely, and it's going to be like breaking the dam open, because Texas needs to lead on this issue. Texas has the financial strength to be able to withstand any kind of glitches that might come up. But once it gets in the process, we are golden.
Well, thank you, Representative Mark DeRazio. God bless you.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking to three sitting state legislators, Florida, Alaska, and Texas, and we talked to a real leader, Matt Krause, a former legislator. Bottom line is they think that pirate money can happen. If you want to get more information about pirate money, you go to piratemoneybook.com that lays out all the plan. They also mentioned central bank digital currency, which is a threat that's on the horizon, and it's coming faster than we know it. You know, our next episode of Pirate Money Radio next week, next Saturday, will be on central bank digital currency. What we've got here, Mike Carter and I have been talking about how we can take back the monetary system of America under the Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, money. This is a unique opportunity, and we're taking it forward. Hey, thanks for being with us. This is Kevin Freeman and Pirate Money Radio. Till next week, we'll see you then.